Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour here on CBS Sports Radio. Tiki Barber coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. It is Thursday night. That means football is right around the corner. The Bengals and the Ravens face off in an AFC North showdown. We'll get to that in just a little bit. In the next segment, we're going to talk to Matt Stinchcomb, former offensive lineman for the Georgia Bulldogs. So many interesting things to talk about in the SEC, including a big matchup between LSU and Auburn this Saturday. Also about his Georgia Bulldogs. Could they have a quarterback issue on their hands? No, I'm just kidding. Sam's just trying to, like, gas me up with the Fromm Fields quarterback competition, even though he has got some burn, the young kid. But this is Fromm's team all the way. But we'll start this hour with the National Football League. A couple of things just to chat about briefly before we get to the Bengals and the Ravens matchup this evening. Jalen Ramsey, you know, he's such an interesting individual in the National Football League. You've heard us on this show, and me in particular, talk about how I love his trash talk. I love that he's old school like that, and that he puts out billboard material for other people to have to respond to. And then, most importantly, he backs it up. He's one of the top cover corners in the National Football League. If you look at his passer rating against, he's in the top 10, and all interceptions, etc. All those defensive metrics that they talk about relative to corners, he sits right up there in the top. And this weekend's matchup, he didn't waste any time going after probably the best player on the field other than Tom Brady on the New England Patriots, saying, I don't think Rob Gronkowski is actually that good, which forced Rob Gronkowski to have to respond. Now, let me ask you, do you think that's how Rob Gronkowski actually feels? You think he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, he's going to go away about it, do his job. I got to do it. No, that's not how he feels. That's the Bill Belichick, don't get billboard material yourself response. I don't even know what the word is, but when you actually talk to Jalen Ramsey, and I got a chance to do it last weekend because me and my brother and Kenny Albert did that game, Giants in Jacksonville, he's actually really calm. You expect him to walk into a room and be like Deion was. Remember Deion Sanders back in the day? Was just loud and bombastic and strutting and this larger-than-life persona because of how he played and how he carried himself. Jalen Ramsey is actually not that at all. Timid is maybe the word I would use when he's in a room. Like, he's imposing because he's big. I mean, he's long, and he's got a physicality about him that's obvious. It comes through his pores. But his demeanor isn't crazy and bombastic, and so it makes me feel like, you know, this is how he gets himself ready to play. Right? He talks trash simply because it ignites something inside of him. And if it ignites something inside of his opponent, then that only further amps him up. I love that about Jalen Ramsey. I love that the fact that he's not afraid to express how good he thinks he is, and really how good he actually is. So this Jalen Ramsey Rob Gronkowski matchup is definitely one to watch this coming up Sunday, because, as he said, this is a great quote: "I fear no man." Period. So he's going to have to come out there and line up with me. However, he's got to play us this year. Talking about Rob Gronkowski and how he doesn't fear the 275-pound or 270-pound tight end from New England, 6'6", and does basically everything he wants to do. The other story that jumps off the page for me is this Le'Veon Bell thing that I keep hearing people talk about. The Pittsburgh Steelers pulled Le'Veon's name off the depth chart, and people want to make that a big deal. It's not. It's not a big deal because Le'Veon Bell is not on the team right now. It's as simple as that. Don't overthink it. Don't think that the Steelers are making some sort of statement. He's simply not signed to a contract, just like the guy that they cut. And their cut down from 53 men down to the 53-man roster is also not on the depth chart. Even though he was there for training camp and for maybe some of the offseason, Le'Veon Bell has not signed a contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers because he hasn't signed his franchise tender and therefore is not on the team. So stop making a big deal about Le'Veon Bell not being on the depth chart. That means absolutely nothing. What means more is that his offensive linemen have actually started to say the right things relative to Le'Veon Bell, that when he comes back, he'll be welcomed with open arms. And I think that's the right move. So much of the early narrative about Le'Veon Bell from his teammates was, you know, he's being selfish, he's not here, and we care about winning championships, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're finally starting to say the right things. Maybe they've actually had conversations now with Le'Veon Bell. Who knows? But I had to address that because it was annoying me that people are making a big deal that Le'Veon Bell is not on the depth chart of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Thursday night's matchup, Baltimore Ravens being hosted by the Cincinnati Bengals, brings a couple of interesting dynamics to fore. One, are we buying Joe Flacco, who was 25 of 34 for 236 yards and 3 TDs in his game one? I mean, they routed the Buffalo Bills. Their defense had a ton of pressure on Buffalo and limited them to 10 first downs on the day. On the other side, Andy Dalton looked really good as well. 21 of 28. It was 76% completion percentage. He actually pushed the ball downfield. You look at his yards per attempt, it was almost 9 at 8.7. Joe Mixon was a stud in his second. This is second year for Joe Mixon, the third. I think it's third, second year. Second year for Joe Mixon. He's coming into his own as their every down player. Hill is gone, and Giovanni Bernard is their third down threat. But Joe Mixon looks like the truth for this Cincinnati Bengals team. And A.J. Green, who came into the season saying that he was going to be a top wide receiver. In fact, he prompted me to pick him up on my fantasy team. He actually looked good with a touchdown in his opener. So the question that we ask is, are you buying both of these teams? I think that I'm buying Baltimore. Jury's still out on the Cincinnati Bengals. Baltimore, mainly because I'm old school like that. I believe in playing defense and teams that play good defense. And the Baltimore Ravens, even last year, in a season that was somewhat disappointing, had a very good defense, and it comes back mostly intact, even though T. Suggs is getting a little bit older. Their defense was fantastic last week. 2 interceptions, all these pass defenders. They sacked the quarterback 6 times, and even though it doesn't feel like that's quite an accomplishment because of how bad the Buffalo Bills was, to get the quarterback 6 times and limit them to basically 150 yards, I mean, that's huge. Huge accomplishment. That translates. It brings confidence going forward. So I'm buying the Baltimore Ravens. The Cincinnati Bengals, I'm holding. Now, they have a big test this weekend against a Ravens offense that put up some points. They have diversity with Lamar Jackson. This Bengals team is if they can play ball control, if they can find a way not to fall into the doldrums like they always seem to do, I might start to believe in them, but it's got to take some time for me with the Cincinnati Bengals. You just get fooled too much and too often with this Bengals team. I do like Joe Mixon. Yeah, this is his second year. Second year, he feels like he's coming into his own. He also caught 5 passes last weekend for 54 yards, and that's really the one thing that I think a lot of teams in the National Football League don't think about until they have it. When you have a back, right, like Le'Veon Bell, like David Johnson, like the Giants now have and Saquon Barkley. He can do so many different things. Giovanni Bernard was good at doing one thing, but Jeremy Hill was good at doing another. That combination of one guy doing both makes it so much easier for your play caller. And that's where Joe Mixon brings such an important component to this Bengals offense. So keep an eye out for him tonight and see how he's used. I don't know if he's wide receiver quality, you know, like some of these running backs, you can line up as a wide receiver and get mismatches. They can run the same route tree as all your wide receivers, so you can actually be five wide even when you have a running back in the field. I don't know if he's that level, but he can catch the ball, as we saw last weekend against the Colts. 5 receptions, 54 yards, putting him up for a total of 149 yards from scrimmage. That type of player is a difference maker and may have been, be honest with you, what Andy Dalton had been missing for the last couple of years. We knew he had the wide receivers, but if you don't have that back, if you don't have that guy who's this hidden asset for your offense, sometimes it gets a little bit harder. So I like the Cincinnati Bengals, not fully sold on them. I need to see how they match up against a very good Ravens defense at home tonight. This is one of those games, if we want to take them seriously, they have to win this one. They have to win this one in division at home against the Baltimore Ravens. But we'll see how it all plays out. But two teams that I think at the beginning of the season we didn't have high expectations for, but two teams that after week one you can't dismiss. I think going into the year, maybe there was a chance, and we're going to dismiss them. Joe Flacco's not that guy. But after week one, you can't. You got to give them a couple more weeks in order to pass judgment.
Here's a quick question I have for you. Both quarterbacks, Flacco and Dalton, have had ups and downs, playoff success. Well, maybe not Dalton with playoff success, but regular season success. Flacco obviously has the Super Bowl MVP, but like, he's had 1 year over 4,000 yards.
You're right.
He's super inconsistent. Up until a few years ago, he had never been over 60% completion. Dalton is very consistent. He's got A.J. Green.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had a lot outside of that once Marvin Jones was gone.
I know what you're asking.
To choose a game for a season,
yeah,
Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco.
Neither. It's just that's because here's the thing. Both of these guys are what they are. You know, there's certain guys. So I had this conversation because I did a hit with our Philly affiliate, and they're talking about Nick Foles and how good or bad Nick Foles is. Because sometimes he looks really bad, sometimes he looks average, sometimes he looks great. Right? He's one of the few quarterbacks that got close. I mean, did he have a perfect rating? I don't know if he had a perfect rating. He got really close to a perfect rating in a game, but he's confounding. Like sometimes he's really good, sometimes he's not. And on the other side, the same thing could be said about in that game, that is the Philadelphia Eagles visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're like, Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 420-something yards last week? What? 4 touchdowns and he ran for one? Ryan Fitzpatrick is who Ryan Fitzpatrick is. There's going to be games where he gives that to you, but there's going to be other games where he throws 3 interceptions and looks absolutely horrible. I think both with Joe Flacco and with Andy Dalton, they are who they are. They're not quarterbacks who are going to rise to an elite status and stay there. It's because after a while, you just become who you are. It's not a knock on them. They can win football games, as is evidenced by their careers. But to try to position them as quarterbacks that can take it to that next platform, I'm not sure that that's there yet. They'd have to do it consistently over the course of 16 weeks, really 17 weeks, including the bye, and get their teams deep into the postseason and continually make that push before you can have that conversation. I just don't see it yet for either one of those guys. So to answer your question, Samter, I'd say neither.
Yeah, that's a cop-out answer. But
it's not a cop-out answer because it doesn't matter which one I pick because they're both, to me, they're the same. You know, it feels like I know who they are, and it's not – They're not quarterbacks that I'm going to go search for.
It's just interesting. I'm doing a comparison on Football Reference.
Yeah. Between them two?
Between the two of them.
Yes.
Now, they're very, very similar. Andy Dalton averages 2 yards a game more than Flacco. 1.5 touchdowns to 1.3 touchdowns.
Don't forget, Andy Dalton and A.J. Green had one of the, great combinations in football history in their first 3 or so years, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it fell off. Whether it was injuries, A.J. Green got banged up a little bit. Andy Dalton started taking some steps back, and Hugh Jackson left, and so it changed. His offensive coordinator changed. Some things moved around. And so it's one of those. I don't know. But that's the problem with both of those guys, and that's why I say neither, because I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to get. It's just like with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He looked fantastic in week one, but I have no idea what he's going to do in week two. I guess we'll find out, because I'll be at that game with my twin. Matt Stitzkum, SEC Network analyst, coming up on the other side of this break. Talk all things SEC football. And there's a lot of good ones in the SEC. As always, teams are ready and willing, are ready and able, I should say, to get big wins. As even Texas A&M, who just barely fell short of Clemson last weekend. But Matt Stitchcomb is going to join us to talk SEC football coming up next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news is a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. On the phone now, we have Matt Stitzkum, SEC Network analyst. Spent a little bit of time in the National Football League with the Oakland Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but obviously he is famous in Georgia. Matt, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I can remember we actually got to play against you all back in you and your brother Rondé back in your Virginia days. My freshman year, it ended rather inauspiciously for us in the Peach Bowl.
That's right. I forgot you were on that team because Hines Ward, who was a wide receiver, had to play quarterback for you that game. And he actually played pretty well for a fill-in, you know, put that in quotes, fill-in quarterback. And it was tight. You guys recovered a fumble, returned it for a touchdown, which made it a tie ball game. But you over-celebrated, got a penalty, which moved back the kickoff, and then Pete Allen returned that kickoff for a touchdown. That was a tough one. It was a good one for us. It was a tough one for you guys, especially because it was in Georgia. It was in Atlanta.
Oh, man. It was brutal. I mean, the Peach Bowl was great, but, I mean, it's like driving down the street for your bowl experience. And then to lose on a kickoff return after tying the game up, it was just, it was the perfect ending to what was a calamitous year and a heck of a win for y'all. But, yeah, that will forever be seared into my memory.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it like that, Matt, that you got – I mean, you go to a bowl game, for those who don't realize this, you go to a bowl game, you want to go away. Like, you want to go somewhere which is cool, go to Florida, go to wherever, California. You guys went down the street. That wasn't any fun. But let's talk about a couple
– in your backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about a couple of teams down the street from Georgia. Alabama had an interesting offseason with the – Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts quarterback controversy. I don't think it really was a controversy. I think Nick Saban knew all the time who was going to be the guy, and it turned out to be Tua. But what does this mean for Jalen Hurts? You know, obviously he can't leave until next year, but what does it mean for him and his career?
Well, you know, the conversation has been around, you know, does he try to redshirt to preserve this year of eligibility? Because he graduates soon. So he'll be able to transfer once the season is over and play right away. But will he have exhausted a year of eligibility with the new redshirt rules even in place by having played in excess of the now expanded, you know, they give you a good bit of latitude now where you can play in 4 or 5 games. Now where you could still redshirt, is Hurts going to play in excess of that and then having exhausted one of his years of eligibility? And if that's the case, you know, how unfortunate for the kid in that regard. You know, Coach Saban has kind of spoken towards this a little bit, although so much, you know, kind of indirectly, in that what kind of teammate are you if you're going to pick and choose where you're going to play and when you're going to play.
Yeah.
He wasn't speaking directly about Jalen Hurts. It was kind of one of those broader comments that, you know, applies specifically to this situation.
Yeah.
That's the question at this point. I wonder, you know, are you going to play Hurts to the extent, or ask him to play to the extent where he will have burned a year of eligibility and not be able to preserve that to go play somewhere else? And it looks like that's likely to be the case.
Yeah, no, and it makes it more interesting, Matt, is it, you know, what happens if he does play those four games or five, whatever, I think it's four or five, whatever it is, and all of a sudden he's like, well, okay, I'm going to redshirt because I want to have 2 years of eligibility when I go to wherever I go next, so I can, you know, he's not going to be an NFL quarterback, but he wants to get the most he can out of playing in college, but then Tua gets hurt. Right. And then it's, and all of a sudden, Alabama, who has national championship aspirations, they're not going with, you know, the young kid. They want to go back to Jalen Hurts. It really is an interesting dynamic of where his loyalties ultimately will lie.
Yeah, well, it is a fantastic experiment, if you will, in the kind of the sociology of it all. With here's this kid, and yeah, he's a great team player, but to what extent does his personal aspirations overtake, or does it overtake his commitment to his current football team?
Yeah,
I think that there's a likely scenario where that could actually have to play out.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're talking to Matt Stinchcomb, SEC Network analyst. You're also announcing the 2018 All-Star AFCA Good Works Team. It's one of the most prestigious off-field honors in college football, as it recognizes players for their commitment to community service. Now, you got this award twice, so it's awesome that you're involved with that, because it's so much a part of, more of a part of college sports than it is professional sports, in a sense. So kudos for that, Matt.
Well, man, I appreciate that. It's an honor to get to be a part of it. I get to sit on the selection committee, which is really challenging in a good way, because of, you know, all these kids, these college players, and we'll talk about, they're great football players, and that's what we spend most of the time talking about. That's what All-American teams are for.
Yeah.
They're smart kids, obviously, that are playing at a high level. That's academic All-Americans. This goes beyond both of those things. This speaks to their character. This speaks to their mindfulness of how they can impact their communities in positive ways and use college football as a platform to accomplish that. That's what this team recognizes. This is your all-character team. These are the guys that, once their careers are over, the Jalen Hurtses, who there is a time horizon. If he wants to stay at quarterback, where he's not going to play football anymore, what kind of person is he going to be?
Yeah.
Well, I think that what this team does is it says, look, there's some really great people that just happen to be great football players. That's going to have a much larger impact than what they would have done on a football field.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. Even if they do make it to the professional levels, the community part of their lives often has a bigger impact on the totality of their communities. Matt Stinchcomb joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's get to your team, the Georgia Bulldogs. Jacob Frohm has been amazing. We saw it all last year. Not that there is a quarterback controversy, unless maybe there is. Justin Fields has gotten these first couple of games. Is there something brewing there, or are we looking too deeply into it?
Nah, there's nothing brewing there. Right now what Georgia has is the luxurious scenario that says that if your starter, who won all but two games a season ago and made it to the national title game, if for some reason he goes down, you've got what seems to be a pretty able backup in Justin Fields. And Justin Fields, it's just a matter of time. Whether he overtakes Jake Fromm or not, it's very clear that this is a kid whose ceiling is incredibly high. He's not a runner, although he's incredibly mobile.
Yeah.
He's a great passer. They speak about his mindfulness on the field, his football IQ. He's got to acclimate to a new system. This is, you know, what Georgia does now is not anything close to what he did at Harrison High School. That said, he's a contributor. I'll be surprised if he doesn't play in package, at least a couple packages and or game situations. You think about the nightmare he could be in the red zone, given the fact that he could extend plays if necessary, move the pocket, run pass option on maybe a sprint out. He's got that element more so than Jake Fromm does, but the idea that he would overtake Fromm as a starter, absent just really poor play or some other extenuating circumstance from Fromm, it's really unlikely. It seems as if they're pretty settled at quarterback at this point.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, but it will be something to keep an eye on. We only have about a minute here left with you, Matt, but I want to jump to the LSU and Auburn, both off to a really good start. LSU, big win over Miami, even though I think Miami was overrated. Auburn taking on Washington early. They dominated that game as well. This is the best matchup this weekend. How do you see both of these teams pushing through the season? Because it's an inflection point, really. Whoever loses this game is behind the eight ball.
Perfect term. It's exactly what it is. I mean, right now you're talking about two of the three teams that are contending for the second best spot in the SEC West. Mississippi State's probably the third.
Yeah.
And right now you're going to find out, you know, where does LSU go from here, and are they as good as they seemingly were versus, as you pointed out, what is likely an overrated Miami Hurricane football team at this point. I think Auburn gets this done, and largely because of their defense and that defensive line. I don't see how LSU is going to be able to handle that defensive front, and that will ultimately be the difference in this ball game. Offensively for LSU, they've already started to show signs that they might struggle. This is going to be their toughest test by far.
Yeah, I think you're right. Matt Stitzkum, I appreciate you. Have fun this weekend watching the college games, particularly the SEC games. There's always good ones down there, and hopefully we talk to you down the line, especially as one of these teams, maybe even a couple of them, maybe in the college football playoff come the end of the season. Matt, appreciate you.
Thanks, Dickie. Appreciate it.
Be good. Matt Stitchcomb from the SEC Network. And I love this All-State AFCA Good Works team, because this is really what it's about. And you see these commercials that the NCAA puts out all the time. 90-something percent, whatever it is, of college athletes will be professional in something else. Well, that's really what it's about. So kudos to Matt, and kudos to the Good Works team and all those that get recognized with that honor. Matt, by the way, was a two-time, twice recognized as the Good Works team member during his time at the University of Georgia. We have the blast coming up next as we close out another show of Tiki and Tierney. But before we get to that, Richard Ackerman, can you please give me another update? What's up, podcast listening people out there? You want one to listen to? Listen to mine. Tiki's Barbershop, presented by Geico. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, it's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes, and you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Last segment here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Going to get to the blast in a second. I just saw UVA's schedule. The University of Virginia basketball schedule. It's mostly the same. I'm a little worried. Not worried. But Tony Bennett's been picking up some big-time prospects. It was going to raise the expectation. But it makes sense, though. He had to do it. He had to go get some of these transfers. He's got to wipe that stench from last year's NCAA tournament. Had to be one, right? Eventually, had to be somebody. Why did it have to be us? You ready for the blast, Samter?
Yep.
Let's get to the blast.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki and Samter.
Oh, I like the ring of that. Oh, I like the ring of that one. Anyway, speaking of someone that we like the ring of, Sean McVay, who joined the show a few times when he was the OC over at Washington, now the head coach of the Rams, showed off his memory not once.
Saints at Rams, 4:29 in the second quarter, 2nd and 7 on the Saints 7. What happens?
Oh, Josh Reynolds touchdown off schedule play versus a 3-man rush.
You're absolutely
right.
Are
you kidding me?
You're unbelievable.
That was with Bleacher Report, but he also did it twice.
This is Sean McVay's time in Washington.
Oh, no.
So we're bringing
it
back to 2015, Week 7, Bucks at Skins.
Yep.
2nd and 7 on the Tampa Bay 24. 58 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline.
Jamison Crowder, we were out down the right sideline, set up the first down, and then how did that drive end?
Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
And what meme was that game?
You like that.
I mean, he was answering these questions before they even asked it. He's recalling plays that he called from like
right,
5 years ago.
Okay.
Are you impressed?
No. You know why? Because it's a touchdown. That's like, hey, Tiki, what happened on the first play of the game in 2005 after Wellington Mara passed away against the Washington Redskins? Oh, I went 59 yards on the sideline.
Not all of them. That wheel route was not a touchdown.
Okay, but he knew it. It was a sequence that led to a touchdown. It's not hard to forget. Tell me what happened on third and two in 2018 against whoever, the San Francisco 49ers in the second quarter. What was that play? What did that one look like? Then I would be impressed. I'm not impressed by a big fan would remember that play. Of course he remembers. I'm not impressed with that. Get out of here.
Dude, I can't remember what I had for lunch today. I'm not remember what happened 5 years ago in a football game. But anyway, Leonard Fournette deemed himself, quote, a game-time decision. I'm sure the coaches love that. This week against the Patriots with a hamstring. We know all about those hamstring injuries.
Yeah.
Should they rest him for the long-term health, considering they're a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah.
Or is this game too important to pass up?
Well, this happened in the Giants game, and I asked Doug Marrone, what this meant for his team. Like, he has plenty of confidence in T.J. Yeldon and Corey Grant, who are his two backups. Neither one of those guys is Leonard Fournette, meaning a big enough body, like a lay-into-you body that's going to get that tough yardage, particularly in the four-minute offense. At the end of that Giants game, that four-minute offense almost let them down, unfortunately, or fortunately for them. The Giants punt returner muffed the punt and ended up winning that game. So I think it is important to rest him, though, because hamstrings are tricky. Sometimes they feel okay, and it's a mask for more health problems to come. So he's game-time decision, but I don't think it's not important for him to play this early in the season and create something that's going to be lingering.
Mets are going to activate the oft-injured David Wright for the final homestand before he retires, and they say apparently he will start one game.
Mm.
Is this a classy move, or does this feel like, participation trophy-ish?
No, it's not participation trophy-ish. I mean, David Wright was he was like an icon for a moment with the New York Mets, and through no fault of his own or through bad luck or whatever it is, he couldn't stay healthy. And he's still thought of very highly for what he did do for this Mets team. And I think this is classy of the Mets to give him a chance to either start or be welcomed off the field for a final time before he retires and goes on to whatever else he does next.
I don't know. It's one thing to be in uniform, another thing to actually play and start. It just feels a little bit hokey.
Well, I mean, you can't leave the arena if you're just in, like, jeans. So you gotta, like,
Listen, if they start him and then before the first play pull him, but, have him playing. I mean, the guy hasn't played in the majors in significant time in forever.
Yeah, but
I don't know. Maybe I'm a Yankee hater.
You are. You're hating. You're hating on the Mets because you're a Yankee.
Speaking of hating a team, the Red Sox go over to Boston. And this is actually not a Red Sox situation specifically. But a fan was hit in the head by a flying baseball bat at Fenway.
Yeah.
The Red Sox are being sued for another incident from years ago.
Was baseballs, right?
Yes. But then there was another fan who got hit by a shattered bat who got rushed to the hospital at Fenway. We have all these situations at Yankee Stadium and all across the field and all across the league. Do you still feel safe going to a baseball game?
Yeah. I mean, you have to be aware of when a ball is in play. And I think that sometimes doesn't happen. I don't know the specifics of what happened at this Fenway. I read the story, obviously.
It's just a bat that slipped out of a batter's hand.
I understand that, but I mean, I don't know what the guy was doing. Like, was he talking to somebody else, or was he actually watching and just didn't recognize that the bat was coming his way? But so much of being at a baseball game, especially if you're in the strike zone, not to be crude or callous, but if you're in that area where you could get hit by a baseball or you could hit by a bat, you gotta be aware as soon as the ball is put into play. Now, with that being said, this situation, it's an anomaly. Like, baseballs get batted into the stands all the time. Bats don't go flying into the stands all the time. So are they safe enough? Yes, but most importantly, you just have to be aware if you're watching a baseball game.
We've talked about this all week. Umpires now are considering boycotting all of Serena's matches.
Oh, God.
Do you think after all the fallout and all the histrionics over this, that Serena needs to apologize?
I mean, yes, I do think she needs to apologize, but I think the fact that the umpires are talking about boycotting matches is asinine. It is your job to be out on the court,
but it's not your job to be abused by players and have the governing bodies back the player over
but
you.
But they didn't back the player. They just didn't condemn the player, right? That's really what it was. They didn't. They didn't.
They seemed to come out semi in support of Serena.
Well, they kind of didn't opine at all. You know what I mean? It's odd. But it's your job to be an umpire, and so that's what bothers me more. Yes, I agree with the question. Is that asked? Does Serena need to apologize? Of course she does. That was like ridiculous, her outburst. But I understand it because of the emotion that was involved in her life at this point. But I also think it's ridiculous for umpires to say we're gonna take our ball and go home. Come on, do your job.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Yes, Samter. Sorry. Let me get it correctly. Take my chair and go home. I'm not gonna take my ball. You can have the ball. Take my chair and go home. 855-212-4227. That's it, Fred. Our buddy Fred out in Utah. Fred, welcome to the show again. How you been, man?
I'm good, Tiki. How are you, my brother?
I can't complain. You know, wrapping up a show, going down to Tampa tomorrow. It's going to be nice. Hopefully I beat Florence.
That's great, man. Tampa is the strip club capital of the world, right?
That's what they say. I wouldn't know. Wouldn't know at all. No idea what you're talking about, Fred.
Hey, I never disagree with you. You know, thanks to you, you're giving them my boys, DJ and Xavier, advice to always run scared.
Yep.
And for you pitching pilots at OTC, I haven't had heartburn in over a month.
Oh, there you go. So there you go.
I always listen to you, but this fight, I have to disagree. I think it's going to be a great fight.
Oh, I think, Fred, I don't disagree. I think it's going to be a great fight, too. I just don't trust the outcome, man.
I just think that Gennady Golovkin knows that he cannot let it go to the judges, and he's going to go in there and try to knock Canelo out. And I think also the universe wants me to see this fight, because today, when I was delivering, right underneath my truck was a $100 bill.
Get out of here.
The fight's paid for.
Are you for real?
The fight's paid for me.
Is that for real? That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. See, you were listening to me about Triple G and Canelo. You came up to the got out of the truck. There's a $100 bill, and you say, I don't care what Tiki says. I got a free hundo, and plus $15 for like a drink or something.
I found a $100 bill. I found a $100 bill first thing this morning.
Oh yeah, that's amazing. Hey, it's your lucky.
And I always look for a lucky penny every day. And I found a $100 bill today. So
Fred,
for me.
Fred, I think you might want to like go buy some lottery tickets with the extra, with the change, because you know you found $100. An actual Benjamin, right?
Benjamin. Yeah. I haven't found a $100 bill since 1983, December 7th.
Wait, hold on. Wait, this is your second $100 bill you found? Where are you?
In 1983, though.
I know, but still.
In Manhattan.
Well, I mean, you never, in 1983 in Manhattan, talk about strip clubs and like maybe mafia things going on in the streets. I mean, I can understand that. But out in Utah, how you find $100 bill? That's pretty fun. Fred, appreciate you calling, man. Fred's awesome. Loyal caller on the show. And pumping up Prilosec. You like that. Don't get heartburn. Let's get Tony, who's up in Flint, Michigan. Tony, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. How you doing? You there, Tony? I think we lost Tony. Basically, want to say he's tired of Matt Stafford.
Maybe he had heartburn.
maybe for Matt Stafford, right? I think he's got a good point about Matt Stafford. I mean, Matt Stafford is one of the most confounding. Can I say great? Maybe not great. He's one of the confounding, really good quarterbacks in the National Football League. You said it. I remember this narrative all last year because he had like three or four come from behind victories. Last season for Detroit, and you know he looked amazing. You watch him, and he makes some of these throws, and he changes his arm, you know, his angle, and he's creative, and you're like, man, this guy could be great. But we've been saying that really since he was a rookie, and he's in his seventh year now, eighth year, Matt Stafford. I mean, we've been saying the same things over and over and over again, and then I go back and look at those games that he's coming from behind. But you played like crap at the beginning. The reason you had to come from behind is because you couldn't get it done early. I want to like Matt Stafford. I really do. I think he's a nice kid, and he's got talent. Like, he's got skill.
He's not one of those quarterbacks that just his arm is weak. None of that. He's got all of that. But the production just hasn't been there. Maybe under Matt Patricia's new regime, more disciplined regime, he can figure it out. I hope so. Appreciate all the calls today. Appreciate all the guests. BT will be back tomorrow. I will be remote from Tampa tomorrow, getting ready for the Buccaneers hosting the world champion. You hear that, Philly? World champion Philadelphia Eagles. Appreciate you joining me. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.